Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What would you think if I were to tell you that 1 week from today, next Sunday, 1/3 of all hospitals in the United States would be closed? 1/3 of hospitals would not be open next Sunday. Would it be possible? Is it probable? Maybe. Maybe. This week will tell. How? Well, let me first give a little backstory. The backstory begins in the 1850s in two different countries, in England and in the United States. In the United States, they had the particular institution of slavery. England had already thrown off slavery, but we kept it here in the United States. Not all states had slavery. Some states had it, some were free. There was great contention in our land. But what would happen if a slave went with his master from the south to a northern state, to a free state, and the master died? Would that slave be free or not? Well, that's what happened in the 1840s and 1850s. There was an army surgeon, a doctor, who needed a slave to help his family. So he bought a slave in South Carolina. He was transferred through the army to Rock Island, to the arsenal there. Everything was fine. Then he was transferred to Minnesota, a free state, and the doctor died. The family said, "We're going to Missouri." Dred Scott said, "See you later. I'm free. My master died." And the family said, "No, you belong to us." The family moved to Missouri, went to the Missouri Supreme Court. Eventually, it went to the United States Supreme Court. And the United States Supreme Court decided in 1857 the following, that Dred Scott was not a person under the law. The Constitution only refers to persons. He was not a citizen. He was a slave. And because of that, he had no rights. He had no privileges. He could be owned as chattel. Of course, we know that that Supreme Court decision of Dred Scott was later overturned. But it took a civil war. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court justice who made the decision, Taney, was a Catholic. He should have known better. The doctor should have known better to have a slave. But in any event, many people thought that that was right because it was legal to have a slave. If the law says it's okay, then we can do it. The law is a moral guide after all. But not always. Not always. Now back in England, there was a researcher who wrote a book, The Origin of Species and the Development of Human Life, often dubbed the Survival of the Fittest. Charles Darwin had his book published in 1859. That book purported to say that life came from other life, that species that we have now came from earlier species and so on, that eventually everything was natural, that there was no creator, there was no God, that just one species survived because it was fit, more fit than another species. This theory of evolution took hold in England. Charles Darwin's brother, Sir Francis Galton, started a new society based on his book, his theory. The new society said, well, if we can breed cattle, if we can breed sheep to get better sheep and get better cattle, well, then we ought to use our abilities. We should use government to breed better people. Some people are better than others. We can see that. Some people are uneducated. Some people have limited mental abilities. Some people are handicapped. They shouldn't breed. They should be sterilized. We should not reproduce those who cannot benefit society. And this movement was called eugenics. Eugenics. We can see where this is going, can't we? Scientists got on board. This makes perfect sense. Some people are better than others. Nothing personal, mind you, huh? Just your genes are not as good as other genes. You should not be allowed to breed, reproduce. Well, Adolf Hitler finally picked this up in the early part of last century, and the Nazi Party adopted this mentality. They put forth a mentality that their race, the Aryan race, was the better race, the superior race. The other races were not as pure as theirs, and so they should not be allowed to breed, reproduce. Of course, he latched on to the Jews. But before he got to the Jews, the Nazis killed off the mentally retarded. They killed off the veterans of World War I who were handicapped. They were dependent on the state. They couldn't take care of themselves. Well, then they should be executed. They should be put down like you put down an animal. Eventually, the final solution for a better society, a society that wants to breed well, is to put down the Jewish race. They were subhuman after all. If they weren't human, they had no rights. They had no dignity. So you could experiment on them. You could exterminate them. And this is what Hitler and the Nazis did. Not only to the Jews, but to the Gypsies. He killed off 3 million Gypsies. And anyone who opposed him. The Catholic Church opposed him. Thousands and thousands of priests and nuns were killed in the same extermination camps as the Jews and the Gypsies. We know that that thinking was wrong. However, that thinking came to the United States. Back in the early part of last century, people styled themselves as eugenicists. They said, we need to adopt this thinking because it's scientific, it's modern. And we can see that some people in our country, the United States, shouldn't breed. They shouldn't have children. Look at the blacks, they said. They're uneducated. They're having all these kids. If something isn't done, there's going to be more of them than us. So let's start sterilizing them. Let's start putting them down through abortion. One of the founding members of the Eugenics Society in the United States was a woman called Margaret Sanger, and she promoted this thinking in the United States. She would later go on to found an institution that's still around today. She founded something called Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood receives millions of dollars from the United States government, from us, to promote their thinking, promoting abortion in our land. So Margaret Sanger started something that was started by Sir Francis Galen. It comes to us from Charles Darwin. But yet we know that this is wrong. States started making laws against abortion. They knew that life was precious. They needed to protect it. They knew that the medical profession would not go along with this because doctors would take an oath, part of their Hippocratic oath, first to do what? To do no harm. Then, in addition to that, other promises, one of which is, I will not give a woman an instrument of abortion. So states have laws, but yet Margaret Sanger and the Planned Parenthood and others wanted to have this right. And so they challenged this law. They challenged it by sending two women lawyers from New York to Texas. And they found a subject there, Norma Jean McCorvey. Norma Jean was not intellectually up to par. She was learning disabled. She had two children. She was pregnant with a third. And they said that Norma Jean wanted to have an abortion, but she didn't. In any event, they lied, and they took her case to the Texas Supreme Court. It was bumped up to the United States Supreme Court. And in 1973, the Supreme Court said the following, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's a close paraphrase. The Supreme Court said, "We don't know what goes on in the womb. We're not doctors, we're not biologists, we're not theologians, we're not philosophers. We don't know whether the child in the womb is a person. And since we don't know, we're not going to find out." With the Roe versus Wade decision, the Supreme Court overturned 48 states that had laws against abortion. They had laws protecting the unborn. But now they had no protection because they were not under law. They weren't considered persons. But why is that important? Well, go back to the Dred Scott decision. They said that Dred Scott was not a person under the law. So after the Civil War, they overturned the Supreme Court decision, Dred Scott, and they adopted several amendments to the Constitution protecting people, protecting anyone from becoming a slave, particularly the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment reads in part, "That no one shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process." Up to 73, the Supreme Court said, well, if the unborn is not a person, the 14th Amendment does not apply to them. They have no constitutional protection. And so, with that decision, abortion became law of the land through all 9 months of pregnancy, even the worst form of abortion, partial birth abortion, that takes place in the birth canal, just seconds before becoming born. The Supreme Court said in 73, however, that states can make some regulations personal to them. And that's what has happened in the last 30, 40 years. States have made restrictions on abortions. For example, having parental permission first. Having medical information disseminated to young girls so they can make an informed decision. Why is all this important? Because of this week. As I said, next week, perhaps one-third of our hospitals will be closed. What's happening this week? Well, two important events. Thousands upon thousands of people will be going to Washington, D.C. for two reasons. First, to celebrate the election of the first African American as president on Tuesday, which is in itself historic, but it's rather ironic because here is a black man who has promised as one of his first acts as president is to sign something called the Freedom of Choice Act. During his campaign, he promised Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, the eugenicists, he promised them that he will sign this. And with that act, the following will happen. All states will have to conform. There will be no protection for parents. There will be no rights to inform the young girls of their medical condition. Doctors, nurses, under law, will be forced to perform abortions. Hospitals, under law, will be forced to perform abortions. This is what President-elect Obama has told the Planned Parenthood people. Will he sign this as one of his first things in office? I don't know. Bill Clinton did something similar on the very day of Roe versus Wade, a few days after his inauguration. He overturned the Mexican Accord that Reagan had that prevented military people from engaging in abortion. But will President Obama sign this? I don't know. I do know that the U.S. bishops have said the following. The U.S. bishops have said, if you sign this, we will close our hospitals. We will close our Catholic hospitals. One-third of the hospitals in the United States are Catholic. They're there to promote life. They're there to keep people healthy. They are not there to promote death. And yet this is what our president, this is what our Congress plans to do. So we have an important week ahead of us. Will it happen? Is it probable? Yes. Will it happen? I don't know. But we need to pray. Pray that it doesn't happen. Pray that the unborn will have the recognition that is their due. They recognize as human persons under the law and under God that their life cannot be taken away from them without due process, that their life is precious and sacred to God and to us. In efforts to help stop this, our U.S. bishops have asked us to fill out these postcards. These cards will be available at the exits of the church. They're addressing this very issue of the Freedom of Choice Act. We have to make our voice known. We have to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. We have to stand up for what is right. This is what is being asked of us as Catholic Christians. Justice Taney did the wrong thing so long ago with Dred Scott. So many Catholics have voted for President Obama for other reasons, hopefully, not for his pro-abortion stand. But in any event, we should be voting for pro-life candidates. We should be defending life and not taking away life. So let us do what we can by signing these cards, by praying. This afternoon we will have a holy hour here in the church before the Blessed Sacrament. We'll pray in reparation for the sins of abortion, praying that our country may turn back from the culture of death and that they may embrace the gospel of life.